talk about the community of St. Francis, the Second Order, and how they came into SSF, and also about the...
The First Order.
First Order. First Order, yes. The First Order of the St. Francis in America. And that probably brings to an end these talks, because after that most of you know the history of the order, I think. The community of St. Francis is really the oldest Franciscan order in the Church of England. It was founded by Sister Rosina and another professed sister, and they had two novices. And first of all, they lived with the Sisters of Bethany in Bournemouth, and they left them. I think they were actually Sisters of Bethany, but they wanted to found a Franciscan order, a community, and with the help of the priest of Holy Trinity Clerkenwell, they moved to London, I think, they drew up a rule based on the rule of St. Clair, but also drawing on the rule of St. Francis. Sister Rosina had a great devotion to St. Francis and St. Clair, but they weren't going to start a enclosed order. They wanted an active Franciscan order. That was in 1904. First they went and lived with the sisters, the Benedictine sisters of the Holy Comforter at Morling, where Brother Elred is. And then they were invited to work in Paris with St. Mary's near Hull, Dockland district, and they started to wear a brown habit and a knotted cord with a black veil and sandals. And they grew, quite a number of people joined them up. It was in 1908 they moved to the parish of St. Philip's Dalston, which is not very far north of our house in Stepney. And Bishop of Stepney at that time was Cosmo Gordon Lang, later Archbishop of Canterbury, and he approved their rule, and so they became really workers in the parish, caring for the sick and the dying, and also did laundry for people as well in the parish. Next year they found a house in Richmond Road, Dalston, which they stayed for quite a long time. When I first knew them, they were there. Later they took the house next door. Unfortunately, Sister Rosina and five sisters in 1910 decided to join the Roman Catholic Church. I think they were influenced by the Society of Atonement, was started by Father Paul Wason in America, and now of course the great ecumenical Franciscan Society in the Roman Church. But they went over to Rome, and that influenced Sister Rosina and five sisters, and so only three sisters remained at Dalston, and Sister Helen Elizabeth became the superior. They lived very, very simply. During the Great War, they tried to live on two shillings and sixpence a head a week. They only ate meat on Sundays. Then in 1920, they got this house next door and made it into a home for incurable bedridden women. First of all, they had a trained nurse to help them, but the sisters took turns to do night work amongst these people. They built a nice little chapel in the garden, but they went to daily Eucharist in the parish church at first. And during the Depression, they did a lot for people down and out who called at the house day by day, and they were helped by some of the tertiaries and provided food and clothing, rest for these men who called in at the house. Then during the Second World War, we got to know them very well because the Stepney brothers used to go over, especially Father Charles, and say Mass for them there. I used to go over sometimes when the snow, used to cycle in the snow across from Stepney to their house at Dalston. Their convent home was damaged, and the church, parish church, was demolished by the bombs. They had to move out to Sussex for a time. And it was about that time, I think, that Father Elgee himself became their chaplain, and later on, Father Charles. In 1945, they returned to Dalston. At the end of the war, they had about six sisters, I think, and one or two postulants. In 1950, Mother Helen Elizabeth died, and she was succeeded by Sister Agnes Mary, a nice little, quiet little woman, but firm, and they drew up a new constitution. Charles was warden at that time and ministered them from Cable Street. And they began working in other parishes too, is Mary's Hackney, the Eton Mission there in 1967, and later they helped also the brothers in Plaistow. 1958 and 1962 were rather critical years for them. They planned some development for the Dalston homes for the old people, so they were very glad when, I don't know whether it was Father Charles who found a new house for them in Devonshire, in Somerset, but in August 1962 they moved into the old manor house at Compton Derville, which is only about 10 miles from the Hillfield Friary, and there they started a new home for the old people, and they built a new chapel, and I think they had about 16 patients at that time. And it was about in 1964 that they became affiliated officially with the Society of St. Francis, though they retained their own chapter and a constitution, but they accepted the principles from the SSF manual, but not the constitution. They adopted the prayer book matins and evensong instead of what they had before was Lords and Vespers, and they had the day hours they had took from the monastic journal, the lesser hours. But after 1972 they adopted the new SSF office book. They built a new guest house which was open for conferences and retreats, and I think more and more they're doing that sort of thing with missions with the brothers, and I think they've more or less given up the home for old people now. It was in 1973, I think, that they became and called themselves the First Order of the Society of St. Francis. Some of them went to Birmingham and worked with the ladies who had been working with Father Williamson in Stepney amongst prostitutes, and they started a home there in 1971. In 1967 to 1974, two of the sisters came out to help us in Fawila, Sister Veronica and Sister Angela Mary, and did a great work there with the hospital and running the hospital, and also the leper village. They really did a heroic work there, and at that time they built a Father Stephen made an case for the airplanes to land, so that we had the medical doctor coming in to help them once a week. Then in 1974 they went to San Francisco and helped in some parish work and social work, and became self-supporting in that way, I think, and some American sisters joined them. Then they've all started a house up in Newcastle London Line, in Staffordshire, I think it is, and in 1976 they also had a house in, had a house in Dover, besides the house in Hackney Wick, which they still kept on. I think they're giving up now. And then the last, of course, effort was by sending sisters out to New Zealand. They seem to be growing a good deal in America. They have one sister's living with the brothers in Long Island, I think, and the others have a house in San Francisco. And so they're going forward in various ways. One hopes one day perhaps they'll have a house in Australia. Well, that, I think, is all I can say about the Community of St. Francis as such. It's quite a new idea, of course, to have a first order of women of the Franciscans. Well, then I'd like to say something about the American brothers. It was really started by a Father Joseph. His name was Claude Jansen Crook, a priest. It was in 1908, I think, that this Society of the Atonement went over to Rome, and people who were left behind in regard to that, they felt very much a call to pray for a new Franciscan order in the American Episcopal Church. Father Joseph came to visit England in 1914, just before the war, and he made contact with the Society of Divine Compassion. He also met Brother Giles, too, but not, I don't think he ever met Brother Douglas. In 1917, just at the end of the war, in the summer, he became rector of a parish in Cincinnati, I think that's how you pronounce it, I'm not quite sure. Began to foster the group of tertiaries, really, about 20 of those people gathered together praying for a Franciscan order, and they began to adopt between themselves a rule of life, which eventually became the American Third Order. And the members of the First and Second Order in America drew really from these tertiaries. I should say on the whole that the American Franciscans, we should say, were very, very high church. Of course, the Society of Atonement went over because they came to believe, I suppose, influenced by St. Francis' devotion to the Pope, and decided they went over. And I think that, for instance, the new Third Order, it was compulsory to believe in the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of Our Lady was part of the thing. They really belonged to the revival, the Anglo-Catholic revival at that time, most of them. However, Joseph was thinking about becoming a Franciscan, but he was rather discouraged by priests in the Order of the Holy Cross that he had consulted and the Society of St. John the Evangelist, because of his health. He had a heart attack about that time. However, Society of St. John the Evangelist agreed to train him, and three of the women tertiaries are trained by sisters of St. Anne, I'm not quite sure who they were, in the novitiate for the poor clares. And they thought they were looking to be an enclosed order, but they didn't become enclosed for some time. Their leader was Sister Mary Christine, and the idea was to support the active work of the friars by their prayers. But their enclosure was not really possible till 1929, when they moved to the little portion. They wore grey habits. Both the First and Second Order wore grey habits like the conventual friars. Father Joseph reckoned that the First Order began on the Holy Cross Day in 1919. He was the only member of the order at start. He was by himself, but he founded it on himself. But the First and Second Orders both grew in numbers as time went on. In 1920s, there was also another group of tertiaries who became tertiary regulars. I'm not quite sure what happened to them, but they did parish work in St. James's, Cleveland, in Ohio. And I think they moved to Illinois in the 30s. Well, in 1927, Father Joseph was looking for a move, and he was offered an estate of 30 acres in Mount Sinai on Long Island, which is really, their house would be about 60 miles from New York. And the brothers moved in there in 1928, as did the sisters. In a month later, it was very Spartan in the early days. There was not much heating and so on, and apparently it was very, very, very cold. First winter was almost uninhabitable. They had six members of both orders, six first of the men, three of them were professed, and three novices. And they used the breviary of religious orders in the Roman Catholic Church, modern liturgical office. But of course later on the reform outdated that. It was Algie, I think, first suggested, he was always wanting to bring the Franciscans under the great Franciscan umbrella, and he suggested a link between the Order of St. Francis and the SSF. But Joseph saw obvious difficulties. I think they probably thought that the SSF was not quite high church enough, but I'm not quite sure. It's something that all Southern did anyway. And so he said that difficulties made formal union impossible. What the difficulties were, I'm not quite sure. There was a group of their tertiaries in England, and he wanted to put them under the control of the SSF, but Brother Douglas didn't think that was a good idea, and so he thought it would be best to have their own chaplain. Father Joseph's vision, I think, for the Franciscans was clear. It was to revitalize the church and making priests better priests, and to encourage vocations to the priesthood and also to religious orders. As from an ecclesiastical point of view, perhaps not so much the social work that we had in the SSO. In 1960, Father Paul became not Father Paul Wason, Father Paul Superior, Joseph's health began to deteriorate, and suffered from strain of age, and he moved to Florida, to the old rectory there, and helped in parish work there for a time. And then they started a house in Miami, where there was a sort of conference center they had at Avon Park, but they never had any permanent base in Florida. But Bishop Myers invited them to come to San Francisco, I'm not quite sure of that date, and to look after Mission District there. And so some of them moved there. That's how the Franciscan thing started. Since the Second World Order, the order became more directly involved, or is more directly involved in work amongst the poor and deprived. For instance, Father Stephen went by himself, I think, and worked 4 years in Hackney in the 60s alone, and later the brothers moved to Manhattan again, where they're working amongst the poorer people. And following the work at Avon Park, the order took charge of what was called the Bishop's Ranch in 1973. That was in Hillsborough in California. It was really a sort of diocesan conference center which they helped to run there. I never went there, but Brown may have been there at one time. In 1967, there was the move to have closer union with the Society of St. Francis, and Brother Michael went to attend the American chapter in Michaelmas 1967. And in October of that year, the English chapter agreed to plan for union. And after that, the Order of St. Francis of America became the American province of the Society of St. Francis. They apparently retained an old name that they had for themselves, the Order of the Poor Brethren of St. Francis. I don't think they still use that name. And Father David went to spend a year with them in America before the union was completed, and it's rather through his work, I think, that they decided to come into the SSF. And then they adopted the English habit. Then there were the sisters, of course, the poor, they called themselves the Poor Clares of Reformation. They were now enclosed, and they also became members of the Society of St. Francis, but they didn't ever call themselves, I think, the Second Order. And they, Mary Hill, the mother, visited Freeland, I think, at one stage. I don't know if you ever remember that. And eventually she and two Clares went to Long Island and adopted the Franciscan office books and the English sisters' constitution. They also adopted the brown habit instead of the grey. There were very few of them, I think. That I'm very few now, I think, only two, I think. But they did have some external sisters who helped with the visitors and so on, helped them to keep their enclosure, did the outside work. They now have, of course, a house, the Americans have a house in Trinidad, which Father Desmond, I think he's the only one there now. There are two brothers now there. One, I think, yes. I want to say just something about the American Third Order, which came into being at Cincinnati They started in the Priesthood of Sacred Heart in 1917, and there were 20 men and women, and they adopted the Franciscan rule of life, but they had great difficulties. They were very isolated, living in long distances away from each other, so they formed three confraternities in different districts. Their manual in 1924 they called A Bunch of Myrrh. They also had a habit which they wore when they had services and things, but in other occasions they just wore a cord and a scapular. There were some of them were in England. I said that Brother Douglas didn't think they should come under SSF at that time, and so they were put under a priest named Father Desmond Moycott, Father Desmond Morse Boycott. Some of you have heard of him. He used to advertise in the Church Times every week and ran a home for boys. In very Franciscan lines, it was really very Franciscan in an outlook. At St. Mary's Summertown. I think it's still going on, although he's died. And then some of the English tertiary regulars went to Norwich and started a little house in Norwich. They called themselves the Mission Sisters of the Charity of St. Francis. They looked after some destitute women and girls and had some beds for them. Brother Michael became a warden in 1968, but they gradually faded out. I think two of them left or got so old, and then they went and joined the Sisters of the Good Shepherd eventually at West Oxford, so they faded out. But the American tertiaries, since joining the Society of France, have grown steadily. In 1967 there were 100 tertiaries, and I think in 1982 there were 400. I attended one of their big meetings in America when I was there. They had quite a lot there, about 40 of them there. And I remember they had a great do with making a Franciscan tea on the last day, all with candles across their big, big hall. We were having a meeting at one of the Roman Catholics, and we danced all around this great thing with candles and the tea around them. And anyway, they're very live lot of people, and I think there are even quite a lot in the American Indian tertiaries in Guyana. There's a help by Bob Desmond and others down that direction. Well, that was that. I haven't said anything much about New Zealand, but in 1962 Brother Jeffrey visited New Zealand to keep contact with companions and established links with the New Zealand Church. And from 1962, I think one brother from Brisbane, I'm not quite sure which from Brisbane, used to visit New Zealand to keep in touch with the tertiaries every year.
It was from New Guinea because it was before Brisbane.
Oh, New Guinea they went, yes, over to keep in touch. And then Francis took over St. Francis House, at Auckland, which belonged originally to the Sisters of the Good Shepherd. And I think the first brothers were one brother from England, one brother from America, who left after a time, and one brother from Australia. Who were those three brothers? Brother from England would be...
Rachel was the
original. Yes. And Brother Ross? Rodney?
Michael Thomas was the American who left. Colin was one of them.
Yes. And they helped with the Auckland City Mission for a time, but in 1973 they were given charge of the joint Anglican Methodist parish at Glen Innes. I visited there in 1974, and when I arrived there, there was only one novice in the house because Brother William had a breakdown.
Michael Thomas?
One of Hook. Father Owen. Father Owen was had a stroke and was in hospital there, and so there was only one novice there, and so when I arrived, I'd really gone there for a holiday, and I found I had to look after this church. It was a difficult church, but it was a joint Methodist and Anglicans, and when they had communion, they all had little separate cups, and I was really very puzzled what to do about washing them and so on afterwards. It wasn't very, very satisfactory, really, and the Anglicans were never very happy about it, I think. But in 1979, they moved to the new house in Parnell. I think that's all I can tell you about New Zealand, because you know more about it probably than I do. The only thing I should say about the English brothers, there has been a trend a good deal since the Second Dutch War for having a Franciscan presence in the more industrial sites in England, for instance, having small houses rather than big friaries, and so houses are starting in Birmingham and Ashton-on-Lyne in England, and Liverpool under Ronald's care, and also Newcastle-under-Lyme, where the sisters went, and of course there's the house in Edinburgh, and also in Belfast, where they do a great work in trying to reconcile the different groups in there, and I think that has been the latest trend of the order, to have small houses at the same time retaining one or two big houses like Dalmouth and Hillfield for training of novices and so on. I think that's quite a wise plan. Well, I think that I'd better finish there now, and if anyone likes any further questions. It's been a bit sketchy, the last part, because I haven't been, I don't know so much about that, because I was in Africa all this time, or Solomon Island. I go back from London to San Francisco, to Long Island, and then across to San Francisco, and back that way. So I was able to, first time I visited the American order.
So you've been to Africa, America, New Zealand?
Yes.
Solomon's?
Yes.
Where else? New Guinea. Yes, I said New Guinea.
Yes, I have been. Yes, I have been to all those. I haven't been to Trinidad.
Have you been to the tertiaries in the east? You know, Burma and...
No.
You haven't been there,
no.
Not India.
I don't think there are any tertiaries in Burma, are there?
Are they? Oh, well, I thought, where were they? Singapore?
Malaysia,
were they?
Malaysia, I think. Malaysia. No, I haven't been that way
right.
At all.
Well, it's time yet, brother.
Do you feel that SSF has sort of changed direction much over the years, or is it still sort of basically doing what it's starting
out? I don't think it's changed direction, really. I mean, there's a good deal of social work going on, for instance, in America and places, and I think that's an important side of the SS work, to have some kind of social work. And missions are still going on in various ways. Perhaps not quite such an emphasis on poverty and that sort of thing. I think that's rather different, because we were facing the world that was upside down in the Depression area, time, which we felt ought to share the poverty of people at that time. But of course there's a lot of poverty in the world still. And of course Bishop Tutu is doing a wonderful work really in South Africa too, in that way. I think on the whole,
three times have changed a lot, haven't they? And SSF has, tried to sort of go where the needs.
Yes, that's right, yes. And of course it developed differently in different countries, different needs in different countries, I think, really.
I think the greatest advantage we have is... there isn't too much paraphernalia, because our history isn't very long.
Yes.
What I mean is, we have the principles, we have the rule, we have a constitution which gets changed as the need arises.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't like old orders, particularly Roman orders, who've got this great weight behind them, and this emphasis on canon law and so on.
Yes, all from Rome.
Yes, that's right, yes. And
they all have their minister generals in Rome.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. The other thing that struck me of what you were saying is about CSS and so on,
yeah.
And a little bit about New Zealand, is that a thing can whittle down to almost nothing and then start growing.
Mm.
Yes.
You know, they went over to Rome, left three of their CSF. Mm. Well, now it's what, 20 something?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody would probably be saying, oh, it's not his dying, it's finished.
Yes,
finished.
Yes.
In New Zealand, well, it's a slightly different, because the brothers could be paid from other provinces and so on, but I mean, you were there, they found a novice, one broken down guardian, and somebody else with a for the last 8 years or so, it's been, you know, seven or eight brothers there. Mm.
Yeah.
So
there's hope for Australia.
Well, I mean, three sisters, and soon to be novice, number in the aspirin suddenly appearing out of the woodwork.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I think you have the ups and downs in that sort of thing.
It's been a tremendous series.